This will probably be our last message on current trends, unless something big comes into the news this next week. Acts chapter number 10. We'll also later on be in the book of Galatians. But we'll start in Acts chapter number 10 as we look at the topic specifically of racism. So Acts chapter number 10 as we examine this topic. Now let me just say real quick, racism. There's really two sides, especially in the news cycle today. One is that everything's racist, and two is that nothing's racist. Okay, so if you've followed news and things like that, and what's going on in our world, especially in this topic, you've probably heard of critical race theory. Critical race theory, in summary, is the idea that that races that perhaps have more dominance in a culture, they are naturally racist against people groups that don't have as much dominance in a culture. For example, critical race theory in the United States would teach that white people are always racist to black people. Okay, no matter what you do, you are a racist against a black person, and you have to actually just purposefully go out of your way to not be racist to black people in order to not be a racist. And even then, you're still racist. Okay. The other side, though, is that, oh, well, there's no racism, okay? And so, as is often the case in cultures, there's this giant pendulum swing that's always going back and forth, right? And either you're on one side where everything's racist, or on the other side where nothing's racist, okay? And by the way, neither one is right, okay? So today what we're going to do is we're going to give a biblical answer to the topic of race from the book of Acts, chapter number 10. Okay, so Acts chapter number 10, if we can, and we will jump in. We'll jump in at verse number 23, if we can, to catch up with context. Up to this point, the Jerusalem church and the disciples have really only been reaching out to Jews. Okay, that's what's happened. And by the way, that's what Jesus originally intended as well. He will go into Jerusalem and Judea, and then Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. But up to this point, they've only been focusing on the Jews. But now God is going to transition them. At the beginning of Acts chapter number 10, Peter has a vision from the Lord. And in this vision, there's a sheep with all different kinds of animals, unclean animals. Then they come down, and Peter's really hungry. And God says, if you're really hungry, Peter, then get up, kill these animals, and eat your food. And Peter says, no, I won't eat anything that's unclean or common. And he does that, God does that three times. Well, as soon as this vision stops, then verse number 23 comes. And verse number 23, what happens is some people come to Peter's house, and they go and they say, hey, Peter, a guy named Cornelius wants you to come with him. And Peter wisely understands that there's some kind of connection between them too. Verse number 23. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them. These are the speakers, the messengers, if you will, for this guy named Cornelius, a Gentile. Okay? Peter, of course, is Jewish. This guy's a Gentile. Okay? And certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Verse 24. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea. And Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. So this guy named Cornelius gathered together all of his family and his friends and everybody together to hear from Peter. Verse number 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with them, he went in, and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I shall not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. Verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, thine alms are had in remembrance in sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore, we are all here, present, before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, can we read the next phrase together? Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. I'll continue on in verse number 35. But in every nation, he that feareth him, worketh righteousness, is accepted with him. The word of the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost with power, and went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil, and God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things, which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses, chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be a judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Then they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Let's ask the Lord's blessing, and then we'll jump right into this topic. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you. We're thankful for your word. Lord, give us understanding and help in this. Lord, we want to know what your word says. And Lord, rightly divide your word in this important issue, and frankly, this issue that's all over our world and all over our culture, especially right now. Lord, give us strength and help today as we look at this topic, as we examine it. Lord, I pray that you would give guidance and strength for us, Lord, to respond properly in this topic of race and people that are different than us. Lord, certainly it could be applied to race. It could be applied far more broad to even the unsaved world. But Lord, help us specifically as we apply this passage tonight. Give us understanding, give us strength, and we will thank you for what you do. It's in the name of Jesus we pray it all. Amen. Let's jump in if we can real quick. Number one, we'll look at a perspective on races, and then we'll continue on from there. First off, the perspective on races. By the way, if you want a handout, you can grab one. It has all the notes right there. Or if you want to write things down, that's fine as well. First off, you see the unity of all races. And that's very clear in verse number 28. Look at it. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing of a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I shall not call any man common or unclean. Now, let me be clear what Paul is saying here, okay? Because you could read this in a way that Paul's not, or that Peter here is not intending, okay? Peter is not saying here that it was against the law to do that, okay, when he says unlawful. There's two different ideas of unlawful. One is unlawful as in against the law, sinful, okay? But nowhere in the law does it specifically prohibit a Jew from coming under the roof of a Gentile. No, this was something that was generally unaccepted. It was uncouth. It would be kind of taboo. Something that wouldn't be preferred. Okay? And certainly something that was taught in Jewish culture. Specifically, Jews did not want to have any fellowship, any communication, any interaction with the Gentiles. So much so that we have actual written, laws, okay, commentaries on laws, really, is what we would understand it as. They specifically say those things. For one, it prohibited that a Jew help a Gentile if a Gentile woman was giving birth, for example. If a Gentile woman was giving birth and she needed help and there were only Jews around, the Jews were to literally, even to the point of letting the Gentile woman die, okay, in the giving birth process, just because you weren't to have any interaction with the Gentile. You weren't allowed to give any Gentiles any kind of directions. You certainly weren't allowed to go to their house in any way. There was this very clear dividing line between Jews and Gentiles. And here Peter says, hey guys, you know that there's this dividing line between Jews and Gentiles, but God taught me that there shouldn't be. Okay? Isn't that what he says? There's, first off, an earthly division. It's unlawful that any, it's an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me. So, first off, there was an earthly division. And certainly in our world, you would say, especially in some cultures and some areas, you would say that there can tend to be some kind of division over racial lines. Now, obviously, that's improved over the years, but certainly that can still be the case, okay? For example, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, and he's in a church community that's predominantly an African-American community, and because of that, he has trouble really getting people in because black people don't want to come to a white church, okay? So he was talking to me that literally this last week about this topic. He says, well, how do you get African-American people to come to a predominantly white church? And there is certainly a dividing line between that, okay? I was talking to another person in our church, and he just went to a funeral literally this last Wednesday, and he was talking about how this funeral was at a black church and how it was so different than our church. And certainly there are some differences. There's a dividing line there, and not necessarily that we would say, hey, you can't interact with these people, hopefully not, but sometimes there's a dividing line. First off, there's an earthly division, but number two, there's a heavenly direction. And the heavenly direction is specific in verse number 28, that we should not call any man common or unclean. Now, I'm going to give an illustration here of what this means, and to do so, I have a few plates. Okay? This is a fine china. You can tell how often I used it because the sticker's still in the back, okay? Okay, we got this in our wedding. I'm hoping I don't drop it. It's New Lineage by Noritake. Bone china made in Sanderville. Okay, I don't know what on earth that is. Okay?
Noritake. Thank you,
Bart. Noritake. Noritake. Thank you. Apparently you know more. Becky said, oh, you want the Noritake. I'm like, I have no idea what that is. Okay? Apparently, Noritake is Noritake. Wonderful. All right, so we have this. Okay? Then we have this. This is a plate I got from downstairs. Okay? This is a plate I got from downstairs. It's a paper plate. Okay? This is more like what I'm used to. Okay? As you can tell. This is also a plate from downstairs. It's a little nasty. Okay? I just randomly grabbed things and put it on it. Okay? It has salsa. It has mustard. It has relish. And I think a little bit of ketchup, too. It smells disgusting. Okay? So you have three different plates. Okay? Now, these three different plates are going to illustrate something. Okay? In the Jewish mind, there were three different categories that everything fell into. There was holy, that is specific, set apart for God, something that was very good naturally. Then there was common, something that you would just be your average thing. Okay? And then there is unclean. You with me, folks? Yes? Now, in the Jewish mind, Jews were naturally holy. Okay? In the Jewish mind. They were set apart for God. God set them apart as a nation, right? They weren't like every other nation. God chose for the Messiah to come through the Jewish nation. You with me here? They were set apart. They're like the Noritake, okay? Okay? They were like the Noritake that set apart, you know, put up on the shelf as a special thing. I didn't even know we had this plate. Okay? They're very special. Okay? Now, to the Jews, then, most Jews would view Gentiles either as common, that is not set apart, not that special, just average, or, depending on how extreme they were, as unclean. Am I making sense? You with me, folks? Some Jews viewed all Gentiles as unclean, as nasty as this thing is. I'm hoping I don't drip on myself, okay? Some Jews viewed all Gentiles as this. You with me, folks? Most Jews, okay, would view Gentiles as this. They're better, you with me? But Jews, you know, Gentiles aren't necessarily awful. I would say that's probably what Peter was. You with me, folks? Peter probably believed that Gentiles were not as good as Jews. Clearly, he says, you know, before I believed this, but now I believe this. But here's what he says at the end of verse 28. Catch it. I now know that I shouldn't call any man common or unclean. What's he saying? He's saying in and of a person, in and of who they are naturally, their genealogy, if you will, okay, their race, if we're using our modern term, although I kind of hate the term because we're all humans. We're all part of the human race, okay? But he's saying, hey, I shouldn't call any man common or unclean. And he goes on to describe why in the next verses. But you have to understand, to start off, that there is a literal basis here where Peter's saying, hey, for a long time, I thought of Gentiles as perhaps before Christ as unclean. Certainly after Christ, perhaps more as just common, just average, but we're a step above. Okay? But now I know that that's not how I should view them. Okay? Verse 28, is that not what he's saying? Look at it again. You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation, but God has showed me that I shall not call any man common or unclean. Okay? So the idea is simply this, that none are average, that's what common means, and none are dirty in and of themselves. Now certainly, all mankind is sinful, okay? We're understanding that. But in a racial sense, no race, okay, no people group is necessarily more evil than another people group. Am I making sense? Right? White people are just as sinful as black people. You with me, folks? Okay? White people are just as sinful as Hispanic people. White people are just as sinful as Chinese people and Asian people. You know, you fill any group in, we're all just as sinful as each other. You with me? He's saying, I'm not going to, you know, say, oh, I'm not going to go to your house because, oh, you're dirty. I'm not going to have... No, no, no. There's a unity in all races. We're all sinful in the sight of God. You with me, folks? Am I making sense? Number one, the unity of all races. You have to understand that to move on from what we're talking about. Number one, we are all equally sinful. And by the way, can I say, in terms of critical race and things along that line, the idea of critical race is simply that some races are inherently better and they would have been better than other races. Can I say, every race has been evil. Okay? Slavery was evil. There's no way around that. You know what, folks? Slavery was and is evil. And in places where it still exists, by the way, it does exist in a lot of places, it is still evil. Okay? You know what, folks? It just is. And no matter who took part of it, whether it was white people buying the slaves or whether it was black people selling the slaves, it's still evil. You know what, folks? It's all evil. Okay? Number one, the unity of all races. Number two, the need of all races. And this is really obviously the focus here. Verse number 30, catch it. Cornelius, he asked in verse number 21, why did you send me? Verse number 30. Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, thine alms are had in remembrance in sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call him Simon. His surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon the Tanner by the sea, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Now, catch what's going on here, okay? We know from earlier in the chapter, I don't have time to go through all of it, but early in the chapter, Cornelius doesn't know God. You know what I mean? He's trying to seek after God, but he doesn't know God in and of himself. Why? Because he's a Gentile, because the Jews haven't gone to the Gentiles. You know what I mean? So he doesn't know God, but he's doing everything he can to try to know God. You see in this passage that he's fasting, that he's praying. You see that he's giving, okay? He fasted until this hour, verse 30. It says, verse number 30, again, in that hour I prayed in my house. Verse number 31, that prayer is heard, thy alms have been remembered. So clearly he's doing all the things he knows to do, but he doesn't know God. And so God says, hey, Cornelius, you need something that you can't get in of yourself. Specifically, this is what you need. You need a preacher. First off, can I say the need of all races, everybody, is that they need someone that will share the truth. Romans 10 is very clear. How shall they hear without a preacher? Okay? And how shall they believe except they hear? How shall they hear without a preacher? Nice and simply, every race, every people group in the world cannot receive Christ if we who have the gospel don't share with them. You know what I'm saying, folks? So what Peter is realizing here is he's realizing, hey, time out a second. If I go and I just alienate certain groups because they're not like me, then they can never receive Christ. You with me, folks? Am I making sense? In our world, if we just go to the white people in Apex, then who's going to reach the Hispanics in Apex? You with me? Who's going to reach the Indian population? There's a large Indian population in Apex. Who's going to reach the African-American population? Who's going to reach these people if we don't have a heart for these people? The need of every race is, number one, a preacher. Number two, the need of every race is a savior. Verse number 33, very clearly, he says, hey, we're present before God here, all things that are commanded thee of God. The idea of Cornelius is, hey, I'm missing something, okay? I'm fasting, I'm praying, I'm giving. There has to be something more that I have to do. So Peter, tell me what I have to do. And we'll go through what Peter says in just a second, but can I summarize? Peter says it's not something that you have to do, it's something you have to receive, and that's Jesus. Amen. Can I tell you, folks, every race, every people group, number one, needs a preacher, someone that will go to them. Number two, every race, every people group needs a savior. Listen, friends, I'm not going to heaven because of my parents, even though they, like I said this morning, drug me to church, okay? I'm not going to heaven today because I'm a white Anglo-Saxon, okay? I'm not going to heaven for any of those reasons. I'm going to heaven because one day at a church, somebody talked to me and said, hey, you know, everybody needs to get saved. And at the age of 13, I was sitting in the back pew, probably about where Waylon's sitting. And I was sitting there, Brother Ed Ramsbottom looked over and he said, hey, you know, every person needs to be saved. And sometimes people act like they're saved and they're really not. And I, at that point, decided to receive Christ. Am I making sense here? I'm not saved because of who I am or who my parents are. I'm saved because I personally needed a preacher that pointed me to the Savior. You with me, folks? And every people group needs that. And I'm afraid if we're not careful, we will only go to our people group like the Jerusalem church was doing. You with me, folks? And there are people that need Christ that are trying to find Christ that can't find Christ and don't know Christ because we're not sharing with them Christ. You with me, folks? So we need to be that. We need to be that person. Number one, the unity of all races. Number two, the need of all races. Number three, the examination of all races. Verse 34 to 35, Peter goes and basically says, hey, God is paying attention to everybody, not just the Jews. Okay? Look at verse 34. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Respecter of persons is an interesting phrase in Greek. It has the idea of accepting the face. Okay? Literally, that's what it means. It's two compound words, accept and face. Okay? Yeah, we would think of it this way. You don't accept things at face value. Does that make sense? You've heard that phrase, right? We don't accept something at face value. The idea, simply put, is that you don't just accept something because of what it looks like, right? You look into it. And God doesn't just accept people because of what they look like. God looks into them. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? He's no respecter of persons. Look at it. It continues on. But in every nation, he that feareth him, worketh righteousness, is accepted with him. Now, let me be very clear. He's not saying, hey, Cornelius, you're all good. You're all saved because you've done these good things. Because in just a second, he's going to make it very clear. He needs Christ. But what he's saying God examines every person for their heart, not for their externals. You know what I mean? I have good friends that are African-American, that are great, wonderful Christians, that love God and serve God and want to do everything for God. You with me, folks? Amen. And I have great friends that are Hispanic, that are wonderful, amazing Christians, that want to serve God and want to be as close to God as they possibly can. You with me, folks? And I have friends that are white that are excellent at that. Am I making sense? It doesn't matter who you are. God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, right? The story David says, but God looks on what? Heart. So number one, a perspective on races. This is a foundation. The unity. Hey, we all are sinful. None of us are holy in and of ourselves. None of us are even common. We are all unclean. Number two, the need of all races. Every race, every people group needs a preacher. Every people group needs a savior. The examination, God is no respecter of persons. He knows people's hearts. Number two, the provision to all nations. The provision to all nations. Let's jump in verse number 36 if we can. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. And I love this little parenthetical that Peter throws in. He is Lord of all. First off, can I say real quick, Jesus is a universal Savior. Would you not agree with that? God is just as good at saving people that are different color than us as he is at saving people that are the same color as us. You all with me, folks? God can save everyone, okay? It doesn't matter who he is. By the way, Jesus didn't look white like us, and he didn't look black like other people. Okay? Jesus can save everyone, not because of his race. Jesus can save everyone because he is Lord of all. He's over everyone. He is the Son of God, is what he's saying. So he's saying, hey, Cornelius, yeah, you're Gentile. Specifically, Cornelius was Roman. Hey, Cornelius, yeah, you're Roman, and I'm Jewish. And we have a lot of disagreements in politics. We have a lot of disagreements in our background and in these different things. And we have this, we might have some differences in this, that, or the other, but we have some things that are similar. Number one, we have a Savior that's over all of us. You with me? Number two, I see in this passage, not only do we have a universal Savior, number two, we have a universal gospel. Peter goes through here, and at this point in the book of Acts, of course, I'm kind of jumping in the middle. This point in the book of Acts, you've seen the gospel presented multiple times. But again, I say, when Peter explains the gospel here, there's one thing that's amazing, that there is no difference between how he explains the gospel to Cornelius, as he explained the gospel to the Jews at Pentecost, to the Jews there in the temple. There's no difference. As a matter of fact, specifically, let's break it down. First off, he talks about the life of Christ. Verse 37 and 38, nice and clearly. That word I say ye know, which is published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Nothing that seems Gentile-ish here. You all with me, folks? The life of Christ. Number two, he talks about the death of Christ. Verse 39. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung and hanged on a tree. So he talks about the life of Christ. He talks about the death of Christ. Number three, he talks about the resurrection of Christ. Verse 40 and 41. Him, God raised up the third day, showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses, chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. So very clearly, he's talking about the life, the death, the resurrection. Number four, he's talking about the judgment of Christ. Verse number 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Specifically, that Christ is going to be the judge of those that receive or reject him. Then, number five, he talks about access to Christ, how we can be saved. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sin. Catch it, don't miss it, don't miss it, don't miss it, don't miss it. Paul does, or Peter here does not go and say, okay, guys, you gotta be like me. You gotta change your social practices, you gotta change your political practices, you gotta change this, you gotta change that, you gotta change the other thing. No, what does he do? He says, hey, you need to know some things about Jesus. You with me, folks? You need to know some things about Jesus. Can I explain it nice and clearly? The gospel message is one message for everyone. You all with me? Sometimes I'm afraid we convolute the gospel message. We go and say, okay, well, here's how you witness to Mormons. And here's how you witness to Buddhists. And here's how you witness to this group and that group and the other group. Can I tell you, friends, it doesn't matter all the different groups, and it doesn't matter all the different people groups and all the different beliefs. What matters is Jesus. You with me, friends? Preach to them Jesus. Cornelius probably, being a Roman, he probably believes in the Roman pantheon. Probably. He probably knew that that wasn't quite right, so he's seeking after God, but he didn't know who God was. Peter here doesn't go into, hey, here's all the reasons why the Roman pantheon's right, wrong. No, he doesn't do that. What does he do? He goes and says, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. You with me, folks? The provisional race is, number one, it's a universal Savior. Number two, it's a universal gospel. Just get to know and just get to sharing the good news of Jesus. Y'all with me, folks? You don't need to know all the details about every different belief and thing out there. You don't need to know those things. What you do need to know is Jesus. Amen. So proclaim Jesus. Number one, he's a universal Savior. Number two, it's a universal gospel. He doesn't have to change it up or tweak it because of who this person is. No, Peter says the same gospel that he says all the time. Okay? He preaches to him Jesus. Number three, there's a universal transformation. Verse number 44 through 48 makes it very clear that Cornelius and all these people, and by the way, this was a sign, a picture to the Jews and to the other witnesses that came with Peter, a picture that these people actually did get saved. Verse 44, look at it. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because then on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues, magnifying God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they to tarry with him certain days. So, nice and simply, there's a universal transformation. It was the same sign that they had received Christ, just like happened to the disciples in chapter 2 of Acts 2. Okay, this was a picture of the Holy Ghost being inside of them. Obviously, today we don't have that picture, okay? But as new people groups were accepted into salvation, then it was an illustration of, like, hey, I guess these people are saved just like we are. Okay, so it's the same sign. Number two, it's the same identification. They were baptized just like them. Nice and simply, Cornelius, even though he looked different to Peter, even though he had a different genealogy, even though he had a different people group, even though he was different, he was the same exact identification. He was a brother in Christ to Peter. Y'all with me, folks? The provision of race is nice and simply. First off, we looked at some of the practical perspective on race. Number two, the provision. Simply, the provision is, it's Jesus. It's always Jesus. It's always been Jesus. You all with me, folks? I love how the Bible says it in another passage. He's made all people one blood in Christ. The reality is, the greatest cure to quote-unquote racism, whatever, wherever you draw that line, okay? The cure to it is Jesus. Because everybody is the same level at the foot of the cross. We're all sinners that need Jesus. You all with me, folks? Yeah. And we all have a Savior that came to this earth and died for us. You all with me? Yeah. We are all the same at the level of the cross. Okay? If someone comes and they're a different color skin than us, and that's fine, they need Jesus just as much as we do. You all with me? Yeah. Okay? And if someone comes and they're the same color skin as us, then don't assume that they need Jesus any less than someone else. You all with me? We all need Jesus. Right. And I wish it ended there. You find in chapter number 11 that Peter stands up and basically says, hey guys, listen, we're gonna still do this. Some people you see in chapter number 11, they go and are upset with him. They were of the circumcision, contended with him, verse number 2 of chapter 11 says. So he goes and he explains the whole thing. They're mad at him that he shared the gospel with some Gentile people. And by the way, can I say, that was not something that was foreign. I remember when I first got into ministry, I was reading some of the minutes from a church, and in the minutes from the church, literally, no exaggeration, one of the pastors in past history had been fired specifically because he shared the gospel to an African-American person. No joke. I read the minutes for the meeting. It was all written out there. Okay? This pastor shared the gospel with an African-American person. And this African-American person got saved and started going to the church. And the deacons were upset that an African-American person got saved and was going to the church. So they came to the pastor. They said, why are you preaching to N-words? Okay? And he said, well, I wasn't trying to. The person actually came to me and asked. And so I shared it. You know, I would never go, literally, pastor's word, I would never go and try to preach to N-words. Y'all with me, folks? This is a Baptist church. Good Baptist church. Or what we would call a good Baptist church. Maybe not a good Baptist church. Can I say, friends, that's dead wrong. You with me, folks? And if we're not careful, that kind of mentality can still creep into our lives today. You with me? If we're to be reaching our world is not all white like us. You with me? We need to win the lost.
Right.
Whatever the color, whatever they look like, whatever their background, we need to win the lost, whoever they are. You with me, folks? Now, fast forward a little bit. Flip over to the book of Galatians, chapter number 2. Galatians, chapter number 2. Okay? We've looked at the perspective on race. We've looked at the provision to all races, and that's Christ. But Galatians chapter number 2, practice. Galatians chapter number 2, Paul is writing now, but Peter shows up once again. Okay? Peter, same guy that started sharing the gospel to the Gentiles, okay? That's the Peter, the same Peter that we just talked about with Cornelius, that stood up to the early church and said, hey, no, they received the gospel just the same as us. Same Peter, okay? Galatians chapter number 2. Let's jump in at verse number 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him, Paul speaking, Paul withstood him, Peter, to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that, certain came from James. James was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem, okay? So certain people came from the church in Jerusalem, obviously Jews. He did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. Okay, that is, they all left the Gentiles too, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Dissimulation just means hypocrisy. Okay, verse 14. But when I saw that they walk not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, not as the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We, who are Jews by nature, are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. What's happening? Let me summarize. There in Antioch, the church in Antioch was a mix of Jews and Gentiles. Okay? Church in Antioch, it kind of starts. Some Jews are being persecuted, so they go to Antioch, fleeing persecution. They share the gospel there, and a lot of Gentiles are saved. Okay? Paul is there. He's kind of one of the leaders of the church, along with Barnabas, who's another leader of the church, and several other people. They're all leaders of this church there in Antioch. And Peter decides to come and visit this church that's growing, that's being successful, that's reaching the lost, and all that stuff. Well, he comes there, and he's hanging out with the Gentiles, talking to them, having a good old time, you know, fellowshipping with the Gentiles, and all of a sudden, some Jews from Jerusalem come to this potluck, if you will. Okay? So some Jews from Jerusalem come to the potluck, and Paul's sitting there with the Gentiles, but he instantly sees the Jews from Jerusalem, and he's like, oh man, what am I going to do? Because they're going to judge me for reaching out to these people that are different than us. Y'all with me, folks? Is that not what's going on? So what does Peter do? Peter goes and says, oh, I don't want to sit with them. So he kind of gets up from the potluck and goes to sit with the Jews. Okay? And then all the other Jews that are at the table, they all get up from the Gentiles to sit with the Jews. Why? Because Jews didn't want Jews and Gentiles to be sitting and sharing meals together. Am I making sense? So there's this, all of a sudden, this separation, there's this segregation, there's this division in this church that was how the church should be. Winning the lost, and we're all one in Christ. Y'all with me, folks? So Paul steps up, and he comes to Peter. By the way,
Paul, if anyone was a strong Jew, it was Paul. Y'all with me here? Paul was a Pharisee. Paul had been trained in those things. Paul grew up as a Jew. If anyone was Jewish to the nth degree, it's Paul. Okay? Peter was a fisherman. Y'all with me? Paul, the Jew of Jews. He comes up to Peter and he says, Peter, you're not doing it right here because you don't really understand the gospel. Because if you understood the gospel, you would realize that we're all one. Let's break it down if we can, the practice with grace. Number one, have an unbiased fellowship. Have an unbiased fellowship. Regardless of the audience, who's around, regardless of others, okay? By the way, when I'm saying regardless of the audience, I'm saying that regardless of who you're talking about, okay, with the Gentile, regardless of others, in verse 12 and 13, what happens? Regardless of how others respond. You all with me here? You shouldn't respond differently to people because of how other people respond. Because you see in this passage that the other Jews, as soon as Peter gets up, they go. Even so much that Barnabas gets up and goes. By the way, this is St. Barnabas that traveled with Paul, sharing the gospel to who? The Gentiles. This Barnabas goes and says, ooh, actually, I don't want to sit with you Jew guy, with you Gentile guys, because I'm going to sit over with the Jewish people. Regardless of other people, listen, how do we practice what we've talked about here with grace? Number one, have an unbiased fellowship. It doesn't matter what somebody looks like. You should love them just the same as you love somebody else. You with me, folks? Am I making sense? You love them just the same as you love someone else. Black and yellow, red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. You with me, folks? Doesn't matter what they look like. Have an unbiased fellowship. Because why? Because they have an unbiased fellowship with God. You with me? God's no respecter of persons. Peter himself actually said that, right? God doesn't care what color they are. Neither should we. Go with me, folks. Am I making sense? We shouldn't care because God doesn't care. So here, Peter has a biased fellowship. He wants to be separate because, oh man, what are they going to think? Oh man, if they see me sitting with those people, man, they're going to think I'm this, or they're going to think I'm that, or they're going to, oh boy, I don't want to be like that. So I'll separate from them. No. We should have an unbiased fellowship. Number two, we should have an unabashed and unashamed faith. Verse 14, catch what Paul focuses on it. When I saw they walked not uprightly according to what, folks? Say the next few words with me. The what? Truth of the gospel. You see, this is not just a preference thing in Paul's mind. Am I making sense? This is not just, oh, I want to hang out with my Jewish friends. Right? Would Peter have probably known the Jewish folks more? Probably. It's not just for Peter just, oh, I want to hang out with my friends from Jerusalem because I know them better. It's not just, oh, I'm going to go and sit with these people now because I've already talked to these guys. No. It was specifically tied to his and to their faith. Look at it. Continue on. Verse 14. He walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. I said to Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? What's he saying nice and simply? He's saying, hey, you're a Jew, but you don't always follow all the laws that a Jew's supposed to follow. Right? So why should they have to be just like you when you're not even being like you? Verse 15, and we who are Jews by nature, not sinners as Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law there shall no flesh be justified. By the way, can I say, there's a few repetitions there in verse 16. Did you see it? First off, you see a common repetition of the works of the law. Do you not see that? When we stop, okay, if you see works of the law, I want you to read it, okay? Verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the what? Works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, then we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the what? Works of the law, for by the what? Works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Do you think Paul's trying to emphasize something? He's trying to emphasize that it's not by
our flesh, by what we can do. It's by our faith. Three times in one verse, he emphasizes works of law, works of law, works of law. Three times in the same verse, he emphasizes faith, believed, faith. Do you see it there, verse 16? Because we are not the same based on our flesh. We're the same based on our faith. Am I making sense? It doesn't matter what someone looks like on the outside, friends. This is a point. It doesn't matter what someone looks like on the inside. It matters who they are on the inside. Y'all with me? Mm-hmm. So don't make a division where God doesn't make a division. Y'all with me? Don't draw a line where God doesn't draw a line. We should love everyone the exact same. Why? Because Christ loves everyone the exact same. We should share the gospel with everyone the exact same. Why? Because Jesus loved and wanted everyone to come to him. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Y'all with me, folks? We should fellowship with all the exact same. Why? Because we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. There is no division in Christ. In another passage, the Bible says that there is neither Jew nor Greek, barbarian or free. There's no division found in Christ. We are all one in him. So, in terms of race, in terms of this topic of genealogy and who we are and our skin color or whatever division you want to draw the line on, can I tell you, friends, nice and simply, one, everybody needs Christ just as much as everybody else. Don't think you're any better than anybody else. There was a point where you needed Jesus just as much as your neighbor, just as much as the person down the road, just as much as quote-unquote L.A., people in L.A. do, okay? Not L.A. the city, L.A. lower guys, okay? Everybody needs Jesus just as much. You with me? And I will, and we all should, share the gospel with them just as much. You with me, folks? Mm-hmm. My first VBS, I went and I promoted down there in L.A. I promoted in the trailer parks and all these different folks, and we had a ton of African-American folks and some Hispanic folks. And frankly, some people got mad at me about that. I had complaints about it. Why are we inviting all these people? Aren't there white people we can invite? Can I tell you, friends? Those kids need the Lord. Amen. We all need the Lord. Y'all with me, folks? Mm-hmm. And so long as I'm pastor here and you guys don't vote me out, I'm going to keep reaching out to them. Y'all with me? Amen. Because we all need the Lord. And it doesn't matter what color we are. We all have a soul that needs Christ. If someone comes into this place and they look different than you, they have a different skin color, if you go against them, I guarantee you, I'm going to call you out on it. Paul called out Peter. You all with me, folks? So I can call you out. You ain't any better than Peter. Right. You all with me? Because we have to understand, hey, listen, we are all one in Christ. We're not worse than anybody else, but we certainly ain't better than anybody else. We just know the Savior and they may not. So we need to share him. Y'all with me, folks? Yes. That is a biblical response to race. Okay? Having the right perspective. Hey, knowing Christ's provision, that he is the Savior and the Lord of all. And then finally, the proper practice. Don't have a biased fellowship. I'm friends with them so long as these people don't know. No. Listen, just be who you are. Love people, point people to Jesus. That is how we need to be when it comes to race. You're with me, folks. Am I making sense? Follow. Thoughts, comments. Anyone at all? Yeah. Go ahead, Mitch.
My daddy always said we all bleed red.
We all bleed red. Yep. One blood in Christ, right? Yep, exactly. And that's really the truth. Amen. Any other comments?
It's the Jews feel like a lot of white people do about this. But the Gentiles, like a lot of white people think about other races.
Yeah.
I mean, we might not have got the gospel presented to us.
Yeah.
And held to the cell. But it's, you know, God put it out there, spread it around everyone. Because he brought everybody. God don't see us on that side. He don't see color. He said he looks at us on the inside.
Amen. Amen. Yep. What would it be if what would it be? Let me say it this way. What would it be if weren't shared? If someone didn't share the gospel with us, okay, because of what we look like. And, we're about to grace. I hope this has been helpful. Okay, I hope this has been helpful. I don't want this to be divisive in any way, okay? But, regardless, this is what the Bible says. And as our church has always been, we stand where the Bible is. Okay? And so hopefully this has been helpful. Let's close in prayer if we can, and then we'll let you all go. Don't forget about the sign sheets and all the things out there. But let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would help us. Lord, help us to be the salt and light that we need to be in our community and in our world. Lord, I know in terms of the city of Apex, in terms of our region, it's growing by leaps and bounds. And frankly, really, the mission field is coming to us. Lord, people from all around the world literally are moving into our community. We're bumping shoulders with people from all around the world. People that have different beliefs, people that look different, that act different, that are different in a lot of things. But Lord, as we looked at today, Lord, there's one similarity that is true of us all. We are all but sinners in need of your grace. Lord, help us to see people for who they are. Help us not to judge on the outside. Help us not to be, as the phrase is, a respecter of persons. The one that looks at the face and then decides whether or not someone would receive. Lord, help us to instead go and to share the truth from our heart to theirs, that Jesus is the Savior of all. Lord, strengthen us in this. Help us to be a church that's known for loving people, regardless of what they look like, regardless of who they are, regardless of their background. Help us just to love people to Jesus. Strengthen us in this, we pray. And Lord, help us to be the salt and light in this area, in our world that desperately needs you. We love you. We thank you. Challenge us in these things, we pray, in these coming days. Lord, help us to not respect on the outside, Lord, to share the good news of Jesus from our heart. In the name of Jesus, we pray it all. Amen. God bless.